Good evening, Jim Thorne with you tonight from the Northwoods Sporting Journal, sitting in for V. Paul Reynolds, who, he's like that last goose off the lake. He saw all the cold that he needed to see, and he pointed everything to the south, and he's migrating. I don't know if we have a tracker on his vehicle or not, but I'm sure he's getting closer to the south country.
Yeah, I told him if it got too hot down there, just stand in the traffic and cool off.
But I can guarantee the only ice that he sees is probably in his glass right now. So
yes.
Well, it is December 9th. Welcome to the show over there in the kitchen area with the big fireplace roaring. I think he threw in a couple extra sticks tonight. Our own Jim Layton. Hello, Jim.
Hello there, Jim. Welcome aboard, everybody. It's going to be a great show tonight, as usual. And looking forward to hearing from all you folks calling in.
And in there helping run everything smoothly tonight, our own Norm Plord. How are you, Norm?
Good, Jim. Welcome back. If you hear a little music sometimes in the background here, I'm live streaming from Ohio with my grandson in the band.
Well, there. Is he a jazz player?
He is no. At this stage of the game, he's a second-year trumpet, and he's really making some good grounds.
Well, there.
Hey, you know, speaking of music, next weekend is our Christmas special here.
Oh, that's right.
And the girls are coming in to do a few Christmas songs.
Oh, good. We'll look forward to that. That's good.
That'll be fun.
I wanted to make sure that I get that in later in the show, but if we don't, next week, tell all your friends, tune in. It's the big Christmas gift giveaway show.
That's right.
With Bob Lehman and friends. Guaranteed to be a good time, always is.
Freshly cut grass, they'll be here.
That's right. Well, also in the studio tonight, our special guest is none other than Rob Dunnett, who is a registered Maine guide. He's a pro staffer fly tire at Annika Rod and Fly. Good evening, Rob, and welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, staying warm and chilly is for outside, and right now we got all kinds of ice making out there. We were just talking about that with all the ice fishing, which is kind of, with the advent of social media, you see a lot more of it. You know, you can see the guys that are ice fishing and everything, but we just want to remind everybody, if you are going ice fishing, check the ice twice and make sure you're safe. So not check, all of it's thick.
Check it early and often.
That's right. That's right. Well, we would like to go to our Outdoor Digest at this time, brought to you this week and every week by the Northwoods Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoors Publications.
Yes, you're my favorite and yours.
And we go hunting and fishing.
Yes, snowmobiling.
And all the other good things that go with it.
That's right.
So sunrise today was at 7 a.m. sharp, right up and down, 7 o'clock. Sunset was 3:54 p.m. with a length of day 8 hours, 53 minutes. So our...
I almost missed the first one.
Go ahead and laugh now, boy. I tell you what. All I focus on is about the 23rd of December. The days start getting longer.
Yes.
We start gaining.
Yeah, we start tilting back towards that old glorious ball of fire, the
sun.
Shortest
day is the 21st.
That's right. Our last full moon was on November 23rd. That was the Beaver Moon. Our next full moon will be December 22nd, and that will be the cold moon.
Yes.
Coinciding with the winter solstice.
That's right. That's pretty much the way it is, and I don't know how we get closer or further from the moon, but I know they were talking about those super moons at one point where the Earth was closest to the moon in the orbit.
When you have your big, big, big tides.
Yeah, but I know with the air usually crisp, the moon looks pretty close coming up. So.
Yep.
Well, yesterday was the last day of muzzleloader season and the expanded archery season on deer. So for those of you that were successful, and there were a lot of people that were successful this year.
Yeah.
With well over, I don't know what the final, they'll have to tally in the numbers all the way up through yesterday, but it was one of the biggest deer harvest seasons since 2004. And, of course, we had...
should be close to 31,000, right?
Yeah, pretty close to it.
Yeah, But we had, of course, the snow, the early snow, tracking snow, that helps.
Yep.
We had, I did listen to the show last weekend, had a caller from up in the Sherman-Patton area that said the deer were wintering up, yarding up early. And, of course, now again with the instantaneous social media, it used to be a few guys knew about it, and now dozens of guys know about it. So hopefully that won't impact the deer herd up north
than... It's very funny. The deer seem to know when the season's over up there.
Yeah, yeah.
After the day after, they started coming out on my sister's lawn. Yeah, looking for anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They get that zombie-like look in their eye.
Big box.
Yeah. And, of course, pheasant and ruffed grouse, the last day is December 31st, so we still have the rest of the month if you'd like to
I'm going.
Hunt partridge. They'd be up budding in the trees mostly right
I
now.
I am going.
And, again, we wanted to reiterate that ice fishing has started, but please be safe. We haven't heard any reports of anybody going through the ice and drowning right now, but... seems like every year there's somebody that tries to get their snowmobile or their truck out there where it really shouldn't be. So, you know, if you can use prudence and refrain from doing that, please do.
Fields Pond is froze over completely, and I'll bet the middle doesn't have more than an inch of ice.
Yeah.
It's 2 or 3 inches along the shore, but not out in the middle.
And I wanted to dedicate tonight's Outdoor Digest to my cousin, John Murphy, down in Baileyville, Woodland, who passed away yesterday from organ failure. And everybody has somebody in their life that helps them with the outdoors and learn about hunting and fishing and the outdoors and reading the signs and everything that there are when it comes to hunting and fishing. And John was one of those guys that he just had a passion for the outdoors and for hunting. He harvested some great bucks and some great fish, and he just had a love of the outdoors, and he passed that along to his daughters, and I just wanted to dedicate tonight's Outdoor Digest to the memory of John Murphy down in Baileyville. So that's the way it is.
That's wonderful.
We just always have somebody in our lives that plays an important role, and he played an important role in my life in hunting and fishing. So, well, tonight's trivia question, which is good for a edition of the Maine Antler and Skull Trophy Club. Let's see. This is the 38th and 39th edition booklet of records publication. It has everything in there from deer, bear, moose.
Wow. Hold that up next to the mic so they could see it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It really feels good, the cover. It's good. I think we have somebody calling in knows the answer right now.
Knows the answer.
Okay.
It might be like that Karnak the Magnificent. Yeah. But this one goes back to the Penobscot Fly Fishers, and we would like to know if you would mind reading the trivia question for us tonight, Rob.
I would. So what year was the Penobscot Fly Fishers founded?
What year was the Penobscot Fly Fishers founded? If you know the answer to that question, call us at 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne, with the Northwoods Sporting Journal. You're listening to us tonight on 103.9 Bangor FM, 101.3 FM out of Augusta, and 95.1 FM in Rockland. And if you have a question for our guest tonight, Rob Dunnett from the Penobscot Fly Fishers, or any other comment that you'd like to make or topic that you'd like to discuss, call us toll-free 1-800-966-1039, 1-800-966-1039.
And where are they listening to us on?
They are listening to us on... on WVOM FM. And you could go to our website, WVOM FM, and listen to previous podcasts from past shows. You listen to the entire show. Just click on one and away you go. Well, I understand we have a caller who thinks they know the answer to a trivia question. Good evening, caller. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Jaden Ireland.
And where?
And what?
Where are you calling from, Jaden? What town?
Carmel.
Carmel. All right, my hometown now. Well, did you listen to the question about when the Penobscot Fly Fisher was founded?
Yes, 1997.
1997. You are absolutely correct. What year were you born, Jaden?
What?
Do you remember how old are you?
I'm 11.
You're 11, so okay. You were born in 2007.
Seven.
Yeah. Well, good. Now, have you ever gone to the Penobscot Fly Fishers?
No.
No. Have you ever tied a fly to go fishing with?
No.
No. Well, maybe sometime this winter you get to your dad or your mom to take you over, and maybe you can tie a fly that you can catch a fish with.
Come right over to Cabin Fever Reliever in February.
Yeah.
First weekend of March this year.
Oh, March, Norm. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Now, do you go out and do any hunting or fishing, Jaden?
Yep.
Yeah? Have you had any luck fishing or hunting?
Yeah, last year I got a 250-pound bear and a 7-point buck.
Wow, you had a good year. Wow, congratulations. That's pretty darn good for a young fellow like yourself.
What kind of gun did you use?
243.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's just right for you.
Well, fantastic. Well, Jaden, I'm going to send you a copy of the Maine Antler and Skull Trophy Club. That's got a list of all the nice deer and bear that were shot in Maine. And you can look through that, and it's got some great stories and all that good stuff for you. And you just remember the Penobscot Fly Fishers Association, and maybe you can tie a fly and catch a fish of your own when you tie a fly this winter. What do you think of that?
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on your mind you want to talk about tonight?
No.
Okay. Well, you hold on to the line, and Jim or Norm will get your address, and we'll send you that booklet, or I'll deliver it myself. How's that?
Okay.
All right.
Tell him you want it autographed.
Thanks for listening, Jaden.
Bye.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Don't hang up.
The next generation.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Quite a young man. Shot a bear and a deer, and I think he'll be into...
Hopefully he'll come over to Cabin Fever.
Tie a fly. Well, if you're just joining us, my guest tonight is Rob Dunnett of the Penobscot Fly Fishers. He's a registered Maine guide and a pro staff fly tire over at Annika Rod and Fly in Brewer. And Rob, tell me just a little bit about the Penobscot Fly Fishers. And before we do, I just want to let Jaden know. Jaden, if you're listening, call us back because you got cut off and they didn't get your address, so we get your book to you. So, well, all right, Rob. How'd you get started with the Penobscot Fly Fishers?
Well, I've been a member of the Penobscot Fly Fishers for about 10 years now. Penobscot Fly Fishers is a 501c3 nonprofit educational organization, and our mission statement is to promote outdoor fishing and conservation activities of the Maine fisheries. Throughout the year, we do different events. We help Maine IF&W with fin clipping. We teach fly tying classes. Brewer outdoor education program. We go over and help them with fly tying. We teach in the spring Fly Fishing 101, which is an introduction to fly fishing class. Just yesterday, we had our fly tying symposium, which is a demonstration fly tying event that we kind of use to kick off fly tying season. Fishing's over, hunting's over. We're trying to kick off getting into fly fishing, and that was a good event. We get fly tires from all over the state that come to the Conservation Club in Brewer, and that was well attended by tires and people, and really good information.
Not everybody may know where that's located. How do you get there?
Yeah, the Penobscot County Conservation Association is on 570 North Main Street in Brewer. As you're headed out of Brewer towards Eddington, it's on the left-hand side, and there's a sign there.
Okay.
And our next big event will be the, as we've mentioned a couple of times, the Cabin Fever Reliever, which is, it's great as we're setting into the teeth of winter, talking about outdoor, starting the spring outdoor shows.
Not even 100 days away, I don't think,
no,
if we did the math.
No, not at all. So the Cabin Fever Reliever is an outdoor show that we run. This year it's going to be March 2nd and 3rd at the world-famous Brewer Auditorium. And as opposed to a lot of the outdoor shows that we do, ours is more focused, like our mission statement, on education. All of the vendors that are there can be selling things, but they're also there to teach and explain things.
Yeah.
We have a table to set up for youngsters like Jaden to come in and tie a fly. We have a kids fly tying table. Abenaki Archers and brings a bow archery in. Kids can shoot a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
NRA brings in the pellet rifle range so they can shoot. So.
And I want to come back and talk more about that, the Cabin Fever Reliever, but we have a caller that's been on the line waiting patiently to ask us a question. We just want to go there right now. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling. This is JJ from Knox County, and I just wanted to give a little report from down here.
Okay.
So we went ice fishing today for the first time, earliest time ever, and ice on the small ponds is pretty good right now, but the big lakes have yet to lock up.
Yeah.
So we had about 5 inches of clear ice. And it was a small, under 50-acre pond, and yellow perch was not the goal, but is what we caught. So we had a pretty good day.
It was just a warm water pond, or?
It was. Yeah. It has stocked brook trout, pickerel, and bass as well, but
okay.
We weren't able to get into any of those sport fish.
Yeah, yeah. Now, had you fished that pond before in previous years?
Yeah, it's a favorite of ours, so
okay.
We go there quite often.
Yeah,
not going to disclose the name. For that reason.
What did you use for bait?
We used jigging wraps and spoons with cut bait as the tipping on it.
Hmm.
Well, no angleworms, huh? No night crawlers?
No.
That would have
worked. We weren't able to get any live minnows either.
That garden hackle works every time, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that. We might have to try that sometime, but it's a little too late in the year to be acquiring any of that.
Yeah.
Naturally, I should say.
But, yeah. Well, that's good, you know, and I hopefully it'll. I looked at the weather forecast. There's a little warm up, I think, next weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm hoping we don't get any rain.
Yeah, that's kind of a blip on the radar.
That's what they're calling for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
What are the big lakes like up your way?
Well, you know, through the I've been getting reports all over from people that have, you know, obviously the lightweight shacks like the canvas pop up tents. Things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, I wouldn't roll anything too heavy out on the ice right now. But they are getting, you know, I've seen a lot of trout being caught through the ice. Nice trout. Clear ice. That's always neat. I saw some video of some guys that were, I don't know how they were going out through in a canoe. I mean, the ice was just skimmed over. But You could see the trout in the clear water swimming underneath. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah, we just make sure that we tell everybody, you know, just be very safe. Check the ice as you go. The thinner, the more you go out into the lake, the thinner the ice is going to be. So
that's right.
Don't think that it's the same depth all the way across the lake. The further out you go, the shallower, the thinner the ice will be. So
deeper the water, thinner the ice.
No fish is worth losing your life over, ever.
I agree. Yeah, we noticed that as well as ice near the shore, you could tell it had been frozen a lot longer than ice near the middle of the lake. But we still had a good 5 inches and caught all the safety gear, ice picks, cleats, rope.
Yeah.
And could have worn life jackets, but I think there were enough people out there that we didn't need that.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you for listening, JJ. Thank you for calling in and letting us know how that went.
No problem.
All right.
Every week.
All right. Thanks. All right. And we were listening to Rob Dunnett from the Penobscot Fly Fishers tell us a little bit more about the Cabin Fever Reliever, which is something that you know, people look forward to, you know, this time of year until it happens, you know.
And as I was mentioning, it's more of an education show. And the best part of it is we've made a commitment. This is a show that's free to attend.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to bring the youngsters in to tie a fly, it's not $7 a piece to get in the door.
Right.
It's a smaller venue, and we keep it that way on purpose. And we want to make it accessible to folks. So a lot of our other fundraising we do through the course of the year helps us to drive this as a free event.
Right. And I remember Mike Haggerty.
Yes.
From Chick Hill Guide Service. He did a excellent presentation up there. And, you know, always make sure that it's focused around the kids and getting them out there and having fun and getting, a fly and take it out and a reason to be.
And again, it's not just for kids. I mean, but we try to make it good for everybody.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to the end of February, 1st of March, it's time to do something fun.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little commercial break and come on back and join us right here on Maine Outdoors. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your guest for the evening, Jim Thorne with the Northwoods Sporting Journal. You're listening to us tonight on 103.9 FM out of Bangor, 101.3 Augusta, and 95.1 FM out of Rockland. If you have a question or any comments tonight, please feel free to call us at 1-800-966-1039. And I just wanted to reiterate what Paul Reynolds had said. We, at the Northwoods Sporting Journal, we're the largest hunting and fishing magazine in the Northeast. And we have a lot of people that go on to other things. I've been with them for 5 years doing sales and advertising and so forth. But we've recently had a couple of our sales force that have moved on to other endeavors in the world. And we're always looking for somebody that would like to move into an advertising sales position throughout Maine, New Hampshire, or Vermont. If you're interested in doing something like that, call Vic Morin at the Northwoods Sporting Journal at 732-4880. 732-4880. And we have a caller on the line, Dr. Ben Killam. Are you there, Dr. Killam?
Yes, thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, so I'm going to give everybody a little brief background. For lack of a better term, I'm calling you the bear whisperer. Dr. Killam has rehabilitated numerous bears down in the New Hampshire area. And this year you have, if my numbers were correct, 36 that you're rehabilitating presently?
No, the number 61 came in today.
61. Wow, numbers have expanded. I want to be able to tell the listeners a little bit about what you do and what this bear rehabilitation is what brought it about and what it is about.
Well, we've been rehabilitating black bears for the last 25 years in New Hampshire, and in most years it's bears either that have had their dens disrupted by logging or by burning and big brush piles and stuff like that, and then later in the spring we get bears that the mothers get run over or the mothers are shot at unprotected chicken coops. That's one of the biggest things. A good electric fence keeps bears out of almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, we're getting fall cubs, and it was due to a very poor food year. We had 9 cubs that came in during the spring and summer, and they hibernated about 5 or 6 weeks ago. But since then, we've had 50-some-odd cubs come in, and these cubs all weigh between 15 and 23 pounds.
Hmm.
It's the result of a very poor mast year, no beech nuts or acorns, hardly any apples, and a drought early in the summer that affected the berry crop.
Now, what is your organization that does this?
We're the Killam Bear Center. It's a 501c3 nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So tax deductible donations can be made to support our efforts.
And I'm assuming that you need, you know, it takes quite a bit to do the things that needs to be done to, you know, take that many 61 bears and carry them through the winter to release.
Yeah, the average cost of care for a bear is about $2,500.
Wow.
You know, including my sister takes care of them, but she has to get paid. And
yeah.
It's a lot of work, a lot of food, and the bears fatten up pretty quickly, but it's still, when you get them at 15 pounds, they have a long way to go before they're ready to sleep for the winter.
Yeah. Now, how could somebody get in touch with you for this?
They can contact us at the Killam Bear Center, P.O. Box 37, Lyme, New Hampshire, 03768. Or they can go to our website, which is killambearcenter.org.
And that's K-I-L-H-A-M.
K-I-L-H-A-M, bearcenter.org.
.org. Yeah, no, it sounds like you have your work cut out for you. And just a little brief history on yourself, Dr. Killam. I know that, you know, you did some work with Animal Planet and Discovery Channel, was it?
National Geographic's done three documentaries on my work. Animal Planet's done one. There's currently an IMAX movie playing at IMAX theaters around the country called Pandas.
Mm-hmm.
My work with black bears and the way we've rehabilitated very young cubs is being used by the Chinese to reintroduce captively bred pandas to the wild.
Mm.
Now, and that whole story is told in the IMAX movie Pandas.
Interesting. And the bears that you work with and rehabilitate, those are strictly New Hampshire bears?
Well, they're New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts.
Okay.
We take bears from all three states.
And you release them all, is the intention, in the spring?
They're all released at about 17, 18 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Same time cubs would leave their mother. It's the time of dispersal. All male cubs leave their mother's home ranges anyways, and these would just join them. These cubs are social animals, so they're able to make friends with other cubs their age.
Yeah. Well, sounds like fascinating work, and you're to be congratulated on, you know, your years of extensive work with the bears, and obviously you are recognized as a bear expert throughout the world, and we thank you for your work. And once again, I just want to make sure that anybody that wants to help out to this cause, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, again, go to killambearcenter.org, and there are directions on how to donate. I've also written two books, one called Among the Bears and another called In the Company of Bears,
mm-hmm.
Which are about bear behavior and what we're doing here at the Killam Bear Center.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that with us, and we wish you all the success and your future endeavors with the bears.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Interesting stuff. Now, I'm just curious, do you use any bear hair to tie flies?
We do. We do. A lot of the classic Atlantic salmon flies used black bear hair for the wing.
Now, is bear hair hollow like a lot of the elk and deer?
No, it's not a hollow hair.
Okay, yeah. So it doesn't have the buoyancy.
No, it sinks. So.
Okay. Not a green bear butt that they tie the...
Black bear green butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a classic salmon fly.
I used that, slung it a few times up in the provincial waters for salmon.
Yes, the black bear green butt.
Yeah.
Classic.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Rob Dunnett from the Penobscot Fly Fishers, and it's that time of year when everybody gets locked in, and unless you have a snow sled or snowshoes and want to get out and brave the cold and all that. You have a lot of dark time indoors that could tie some flies.
It's way more comfortable by the stove at the Vice than a lot of those other ventures. So.
Now, tell us, you're a pro staffer, fly tire up at Anika.
At Anika Rod and Fly and Brewer, yep. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that. So, is it?
Well, Anika's a small fly shop owned by Don Corey. Don's a good friend of mine. I call him my sensei. He's the one who taught me to tie flies years and years ago. So, and we have a good relationship, and we're going to be doing some fly tying classes this winter at Anika. We've got a basic fly tying class that's going to be starting after the first of the year on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a couple of advanced fly tying classes. One of them is going to start in January. That's going to be 3 Saturday mornings in a row.
Okay.
And then we've got an all-day trolling streamer class that's coming up on February 8th. So if you've ever wanted to learn how to tie tandem trolling streamers, it's going to be an all day of doing that. That will be a lot of fun. So,
and we're going to come back before the show is over, but I just want to make sure, in case somebody would like to get down, how to get in touch with you or the Penobscot Fly Fishers.
Sure. If you want to reach the Penobscot Fly Fishers, we have a website, penobscotflyfishers.com, mm-hmm. and you can also find us on Facebook at Penobscot Fly Fishers.
And I'm looking at the website right now, and it's it's a pretty nice, informative website.
Yep.
And you said you are also on Facebook. And
Yeah.
Good information. Only because I know at this point, you know, it's everybody's always looking for something to do creative to get through the winter. And fly tying is one that I used to do a lot of when I was up in Alaska.
Yep.
And I think that's only because a salmon fly was – pretty easy to do. You get some heavy dark thread, a big hook, and some different colored bucktail hair, and you tie a fly, and it's pretty easy. But sometimes intricate ones can be easier than what you think they're going
to
be.
But I'll tell you, that first time you spent the winter, you learned how to tie flies, and you tie one on the stream, and you cast it out, and you catch your first fish.
Yeah,
it's really exciting. The other thing that we do at Anika is we do rod building classes. Mm-hmm. So if you ever wanted to build a fly rod, we do that on an individual basis.
Okay,
start with picking out what you want to put on it, the rod, the grip, all of that, and we walk you right through the whole thing.
And there's a lot of different. I'm sure with fiberglass, graphite probably is fiber.
We do mostly graphite, but we do some fiberglass. Okay.
I've built like 4 or 5 rods with you guys. It's great time.
And we've had people that come in and build spinning rods and also trolling rods. So, I mean, we've got a lot of different things that we could do.
Yeah.
And sometimes somebody wants to build it for a gift for someone else. So,
what about rehabilitating rods?
Oh, there's a lot of broken rods that come through the door. Something's missing a guide, the reel seat's chewed up. It seems that screen doors and car doors seem to take the top of fly rods off all too often. But
yeah, and they don't all have warranty on them. Well, it's that time of the show where we usually pay homage to one of our longtime sponsors of the Maine Outdoors Show, General Appliance Center in Brewer. And Mr. Al Elkin, they have been very generous in sponsoring the Maine Outdoors Show for almost its inception, and they have been a great ambassador to their product. Al Elkin is one of the finest gentlemen that you will ever meet as far as his honesty with you about what you need, what you don't need, and what you need to make sure that your product is taken care of and serviced in a proper fashion. So if you need it, he'll talk with you. If you don't need it, he'll tell you that you don't need it. But they have everything over there, gas refrigerators, gas lights, gas stoves.
Compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
There you go.
Switch of roles here. What is this?
Jim and Jim.
You do have a point.
But we've gone over there numerous occasions to pick Al's brain, and he does service a lot of products that he maybe didn't even sell. So if you have an old gas appliance or an old gas light or a stove or something like that, refrigerator that's not performing the way it should be.
Even electric.
Even electric. And he has the new line, the unique line. He services the Servel and all those other gas appliances. But like I say, he'll take you from start to finish on what you need to do and ask you the right questions and get you heading in the right direction. So
even the Empire heaters, he has plenty of those.
Those, and I just talked to him a few weeks ago because I have a new office space over my garage, and they have a smaller BTU Empire gas stove that we discussed about putting in and just heating it up as needed. So, because it has its own heat source off separate in the garage. So if you need any assistance, go see Al Elkin over at General Appliance, 91 Center Street in Brewer, or call him at 989-4341.
Good right. Man.
And if you are just joining us, you are joining us on 103.9 FM out of Bangor, 101.3 out of Augusta, and 95.1 FM new out of Rockland. And we're with Rob Dunnett from the Penobscot Fly Fishers. And we were talking a little bit about Annika Rod and Fly up in Brewer.
Yep.
Where are they located?
They're on Acme Road in Brewer. If you know where Miller's Workshop is, they're in the blue building right across the street from there. It's not easy to find, but it's worth the look. So
yeah,
great place to stop in. I mean, historically, he just has a lot of stuff. And
a lot of fly tying equipment, too.
Yeah. So we've got fly tying materials, hooks, vices, tools. And also, if you've got a question about, well, I'd like to try to do this, we're more than happy to spend the time and say, this is what you need, or this is how you do it, or that kind of stuff.
So. And you don't, and all levels.
All
you
levels.
Could be, you could be a novice.
Yep.
Fly fisherman.
Yep.
You may have never fly fished before. You might be just a angleworm slinger and a retrieving bait caster. But it definitely adds a new twist, and you always learn something new about fly fishing when you talk with somebody that knows and has done it, and maybe ask you some questions. Have you gone and fished some waters, and how did you do, and what time of year was it, and maybe you ought to try one of these, and there's a kind of a science to it, but not everybody knows the finer points, so it's good to pick up pointers here and there.
And that and again, also with the Penobscot Fly Fishers, we have our general membership meetings that we run the first Wednesday of every month at the Conservation Club that we talked about on 570 North Main Street.
Yeah.
And I've been in clubs before and been around people that fish, and they love to talk about the fish they caught, but they don't want to ever take you, and they don't want to ever tell you how, where, why, or whatnot. One of the things that we make an effort to is to get people involved. I mean, if you're not helping people learn something new, so we do fishing events starting in the spring. We do wading events. We do trolling events. We do fishing from boats. We do some overnight stuff. We try to stay active and do a bunch of different things. It was when I first joined the club, we didn't do a lot of fishing events. And someone called us when I first joined the Penobscot Fly Talkers, not the Penobscot Fly Fishers. And as the board of directors at the time took that as we needed to move in a direction where we were getting out and doing things.
And we want to make sure that, that's why I say I'm just reading through again, and it says, you go through, master students of ecology and environmental science in Orono, entomology, studying the bugs, studying the different patterns.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't know, or if you just kind of fly fish and you wing it as you go and you don't really know, it's good to pick other people's brains and maybe get that next level of matching the hatch when you're out there.
And the other thing that we offer after we get into the spring and we thaw out, we'll start looking that far ahead, is we offer an all-day class that we call Fly Fishing 101. And it's an all-day class. If you've said, I'd like to try out this fly fishing thing, but I don't know anything about it, it's an all-day class. We have volunteers. We break into small groups of 10 people. We do one section that we take you down to the pond and we cast. Mm-hmm. We're We're all over 10 years old for the most part, so we have to use a piece of yarn, not a hook. But right. We actually get a fly rod in your hand and get you through the motion. We do a section on knots. I think if you went around fly fishermen, they all have the knot. If you don't know a knot, if you don't know a knot tie, a lot really isn't good with fly fishing. It's good to know some of the knots.
You lose fish.
They have helped me out over the years though, because there is that new loop one that.
Yep.
The nail knot I wasn't very good at, and the double barrel and all those ones. That... Yeah,
but so we do casting, we do what you need for equipment, we do a section, we have an entomologist from Orono that comes down and does a section on bugs and flies. Mm-hmm. We do knots, and we do a small fly tying thing as part of it. But we've got our fly tying class that starts in January, which unfortunately is already sold out for the club. There are still some spots at Annika, and I teach both of those. We do these classes, and I think we're going to reach a point where we've saturated the market. But every year we have 30 spots for a basic fly tying class, and we oversell.
It's amazing.
And Fly Fishing 101, we have 40 spots that we do for that. And we usually have three or four people like on a waiting list saying, you know, if somebody drops out, we'll come. So.
And the beauty of it is you don't need any equipment.
You don't.
You don't need any knowledge. You just have the interest of learning a little bit more about fly fishing.
Show up with a good attitude and wanting to learn something, and you just might.
Yeah, and I speak for a lot of fishermen that, you know, are in my boat, and I've, you know, you're self-taught. You learn from somebody who was a fly fisherman, and I mean, by no means an expert, just trial and error seems to be the key, and, you know, finding out some of the different fly patterns. But, you know, when you really get around people that know what they're doing, it helps you be a better fisherman, and when you're a better fisherman, you catch nicer fish, and who doesn't want to do that?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So.
And you with the exception of the cabin fever reliever that we already talked about, March 2nd and 3rd,
yep,
and the fly fishing 101,
yep,
and the fly tying classes, there's always an opportunity to sit down and schedule something with somebody or able to, you know, you don't have to take the whole course, but everything that you do is, you know,
we have people in the club that are happy to answer questions. We have a guide who started to come before our regular monthly meetings. He was, before it got dark, before the meeting started, he was helping with some casting at the pool, at the pond. Now he's doing some knot stuff. Before our general membership meetings, the first Wednesday of every month. But, if someone's interested in getting more information on the Penobscot Fly Fishers, they can contact us through our website, which is penobscotflyfishers.com, or they can reach out to our Facebook page, which they just search Penobscot Fly Fishers. And like us on Penobscot Fly Fishers. And when we have events coming up or things like that, it'll show up on your feed, and you can see what's going on.
And I want to help maybe somebody who's listening about gifts right now, because it is that time of season.
Yep.
Where if you know of a young budding fisherman who would like to learn a little bit more or has shown an interest, thinking about Jaden who just called in.
Sure.
Somebody along that lines that you're trying to teach the love of the outdoors and the love of fishing and hunting.
Well, bring them to Cabin Fever, and come for the day and come talk to the people that are there, because they're happy to give whatever information they can. If you're looking for that special gift for that fly fisher person in your life, you can stop in at Annika Rod and Fly and Brewer, and I'm sure we'd be able to help you get set up with some flies or something else.
And the class is pretty reasonable. I mean, you know, for what it entails and what you provide for them. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Right. Again, we don't do classes to make money. It's not like an outfitter that all of our instructors are volunteers. We just try to pay for the materials that we need to do the class for. So.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You have the Great Ghost Award. Tell me a little bit about that.
So the Great Ghost Award is something that we give out occasionally at the club for somebody who's done exceptional service for the club. And 2 years, I was fortunate enough to receive that. And it's funny, you know, I've seen people get it before and they got emotional. And I was thinking, well, it's just an award. I got it, and I wasn't expecting it, and it is emotional when the club says, you know, you've gone above and beyond to try to help out. So,
well, I think you do a great job in promoting fly fishing throughout greater central Maine, and anybody that is listening, hopefully you have one in your area, and if not, call the Penobscot Fly Fishers. Maybe they can pick your brain and get you interested and set up in a similar in your neck of the woods. So Rob Dunnett, thank you for stopping by tonight.
Taking
time out of your Sunday, and
we appreciate letting us talk about the Penobscot Fly Fishers and all the things we do.
And we just want to make sure we get this in before the end of the show. Next weekend, next Sunday, is the big Christmas show.
Yeah.
Bob Lehman will be in, and he will be giving away crazy amounts of items.
Santa Lehman next week.
Santa Lehman.
Good Christmas bluegrass.
And we got a little music. We're going to have a little special surprises for you. Maybe a Christmas carol or two. So make sure you tell your friends. Stop by here next Sunday at 7 o'clock right here on the Maine Outdoors.